For over 6 years, Hank Thorpe hosted All of the Above Radio, the most intelligent, honest, and eclectic combo of music and talk that you never heard. But the more things change, the more things stay the same. Hank is back with a new version of the old scene. No more music, no more time constraints, but he still has great stories, great interviews, and more passion than a novel with Fabio on the cover. Once upon a time, Hank Thorpe was your bastion of good music, good talk, and full escapism. Now, Hank is your bastion for punchlines, passion, and perspective. Hank Thorpe, your former, present, and future favorite podcast host, presents all new, all different, but still, All of the Above.
In the immortal words of Bugs Bunny, I'll try anything once. Welcome to all new, all different, but still all of the above. New version of the old scene. And by the way, I hope you enjoyed those best of shows and got to actually listen to the old scene. My name is Hank.
Hey, how you doing?
You can find me on Instagram at Hank Told You So or at Hank. Hey, how you doing? You can find me on Facebook.com/allofthe above radio. I should probably get back on there and do some stuff instead of just memes and what have you. And you can find me, HANKTHORPE, on Facebook if you would like, my regular plain old page. And of course, please do send me an email with your thoughts on the show, allofthe above radio@gmail.com, or THEHRT3@gmail.com. So, I've been having this thought process run through these last couple weeks, just kind of spending time thinking about what it's like to be an adult. And being an adult is so many things, none of which you're told about when you're a kid, and a lot of things you don't sign on for. But what I have realized in some way or another is that being an adult is a consistent stream of doing the things you need to do so that you can clear the road for the things you want to do. As my mother used to say, get your homework done and then you can play outside, kind of a thing. Well, by the way, when I was a kid, I used to play first, and then it was late into the night I was doing homework, and then mom would get mad at me, so then she would start saying, do your homework, then play outside. It's actually something I kind of indoctrinated into my adult life. 95% of the time, I will get my work done so that I can play. Now, we loop back and say, here's the thing about being an adult is there's so much work to do. There's so much quote-unquote homework before you get to play outside. So, as an adult, I have come to learn that you spend as much time trying to multitask, finding one really hard task and one really mundane task so that you can get stuff done. That right there is an example. So, we're doing a bit of an experiment today, ladies and gentlemen. I really want to talk to you guys. I want to talk to you guys more often, as frequently as possible. But I have been trying to figure out how to get my homework done so that I can play. And I'm going to try to do something a little different today. You'll excuse me. Hold on 1 second. So, I want to share a meme with you, and that'll kind of explain where I'm at here. So, this is a conversation that began with, looks like, Twitter handle The Kelechi at _IGWILO. The weirdest thing about living alone is how many hours you go without speaking a single word. And the reply from Doc McStuffins at New York Taught Me, bold of you to assume that I don't talk to myself, LMAO. So, And then we go into the actual comment section of the person who shared this post, John Smith. This is Facebook, by the way. I totally do a cooking show in my house to an invisible audience anytime I'm alone. So, the combination of me thinking about more ways to successfully talk to you, but realizing that I need to get life done, has led me to this. I stopped one day after reading that meme and the comments below it, the meme conversation and the comments below it, I stopped to realize just how much conversation I do have with myself while I'm in the kitchen. And the fact that other people were commenting on it made me feel a little less crazy. And then I thought, well, if other people are having long conversations either with themselves or to an invisible audience, I actually have an audience. Why wouldn't I talk to you while I'm in the kitchen? It's probably the best thing I could ever do. Or at least the best thing I could ever try. So what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen, we're doing a very fun experiment here. And this could very easily, I could very easily fall on my face, and this could be horrible. But what we're gonna try to do, I have stuff to do in the kitchen today, and so I'm gonna chat with you while I get it done. And Lord knows, everywhere from Emeril Lagasse to Curtis Akins to Giada De Laurentiis to Bobby Flay, all of these people have made a living talking to you as they're in the kitchen. So there is some level of precedent for it. I don't know if it will play on podcast, but I'm sure as heck going to try it. Because I want to talk to you guys. I want to give you guys content because you guys are a very loyal bunch. I could give you anywhere from 16 shows a year to 52 shows a year to 6. And you guys are loyal. So you know what? I'd like to repay that by actually giving you some more content. So here I am today. I am in the kitchen of my rented condo in Plano, Texas, taking the steps to help my wife create her next magnificent cheese board. So here's how we work. Hold on a second. The sound you hear is the convection oven going and the bacon is in. So like I said, this could very easily fall on my face because the last time I tried to multitask as an adult, I had the dryer running while I was doing an episode, and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. But I give you this very positive bit of knowledge. I should only have 10 minutes on the oven, so this will go away sooner than later. But I have bacon to cook, and I have you to chat with. So my wife is getting ready to put together another one of her magnificent cheese boards. This one's with me in mind. When we go to parties or when we host people here, she puts together boards thinking about either a theme or pull something from a book, or we kind of think about the people that are coming over and figure out what she wants to do and build the concept from there. This one is for my proverbial birthday party. And so we went shopping yesterday and we got some roast beef from the deli counter and some turkey, and she bought some smoked salmon, and we're going to do a sandwich setup. It's going to be chips and dip on one side. It's going to be a sandwich setup on the other. And there will inevitably be something clever and beautiful and Instagram worthy, and all delicious, by the way. My responsibility is that I am the guy who does the prep work. I am the sous chef. If you were to ask me, I've jokingly said this over and over again, my dream job is to get paid to be left alone. And I listened to Medium Raw, I believe it was Medium Raw, where Anthony Bourdain talks about this. He has a whole chapter, 99% sure it's Medium Raw. He has a whole chapter about the guy who works the fish prep at this really upscale seafood restaurant. He shows up at 6 in the morning, and he unpacks the fish, he cleans it, he cuts it with beautiful precision, and by the time I think it's 10:30, 10:45 rolls around, he's done cutting all and prepping all his fish, and he gives it to all the stations, and he sprays down hoses and washes the walls, and he's gone by 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's his job. He puts on music, he knows his assignment, he does his job, he leaves. That sounds amazing. And my wife is currently at work right now, so that's in some small way or another what I'm getting ready to do. On the refrigerator, I have a list of things that I need to do. I have to cut the tomatoes, I have to cut the avocados, I gotta slice the cucumber, so on and so on. So I have a few things I need to do. And because I am a little bit extra with my food prep, I always wash. I have veggie spray or veggie wash that I use. So all of this will get done. And I will have everything ready for her for when she shows up so that she can start creating the board. I do the grunt work. She does all the pretty stuff, which, by the way, is far more minute than anything I could ever do. I tell her all the time, you do the pretty stuff. You just point and tell me what to move. Matter of fact, over the weekend, she did our Christmas decorations. Another thing, like I said, being an adult, you get your homework done, and then you play. A large chunk of Saturday was us doing the Christmas stuff. And you know what I did? She pointed to the boxes that I needed to pick up and bring up the stairs, or the stuff I needed to pull down, get on the ladder and pull down from the closet. And then she opened it up and went through it, figured out what she wanted to use, and then decorated the trees. You know what I did? Moved stuff. I picked stuff up, and then stuff we didn't use, I retaped it and brought it back downstairs. And then I just said, okay, if you need me, just pull me back into the living room. Until then, I was in the kitchen baking sweet potatoes and cooking chicken. That is my job. I do all the behind-the-scenes grunt work. She does everything presentation beautiful and pretty. And minute, by the way. So now what we're going to do is, and actually I am going to just narrate the thing I am doing because, well, you're probably going to hear some random noises. And I figure if this is a weird live life cooking show, I might as well tell you what I'm doing. So first off, we're going to snag our avocados. We're going to cut those bad boys up. But we're going to put the seeds back in them. So what you got to do is you got to cut the avocado, you gotta take the seed out, slice it, but then put the seed back in. Because anybody that has messed around with avocados knows how quickly they will turn brown. Gloves on. Bacon looks good, by the way. It's got another 4 minutes on it. If I want it overly crispy, we can keep going, but that don't feel like a good idea today. So here we are with the avocado. And if you're anything like me, you've probably had these moments of how do I get more stuff done at all at once so that I can get to things I want to do. You got to do the things you need first so that then you can get to the things you want. And one of which I have realized is a great way to multitask is, I think I talked about this with you guys when I talked about the reading list a few months back. So I, thanks to my then girlfriend, now wife, I became a bit of a listener of audiobooks. And I am the kind of person who needs to be 100% dialed into content. If I sit down with a movie, I need to be present in that movie. If I am listening to an audiobook, I need to be fully present in that book. If it's new music, I need to be present in it. And so, which one is that? It's right there. Okay. So I realized the more mundane tasks, and this is actually from an episode of The Big Bang Theory, where Sheldon Cooper is trying to figure out this really hard equation. And so he gets a job as a busser at the Cheesecake Factory where Penny works. And he tells her that he had read somewhere that if you, the more mundane tasks you do, it frees your mind up to be able to do harder things or to process other things, which I actually have came to notice. On certain nights where I'm working behind the bar at the service well, I've noticed that I'm kind of working on autopilot, and then my brain starts tailing off into thinking about other things. I'll like suddenly start processing some argument I had with a friend 3 years ago and finally realize why I actually was hurt by the experience or what I could have done better. And then I kind of have this quick snapback moment of, why the hell are you thinking about that right now? You've got three tables that need something from you, and you've got four drinks that need to be made. But it's those mundane things that you do on, for lack of a better word, autopilot, that frees you up to really do other stuff. And that's not to say that what I do in the kitchen is mundane. I don't want to downplay the things I do, because, well, then what the hell am I? But it's stuff that I do reasonably frequently. And so it gives you that time to kind of think and process about other stuff. I am primarily the cook of our household. Not because she's not good at it, just because I enjoy being in the kitchen. I enjoy the creation of it all. This is a ton of fun for me 95% of the time. I enjoy TV shows like Chopped, where you charge somebody with looking in the pantry to say, here, make something tasty. It's a scary thought, but boy, it's a fun one. Avocados are cut. Oh, bacon is done. But not overdone. I'm impressed. I could actually probably get away with a couple more minutes if I really wanted to. And yeah, another 2 minutes sounds about right. I don't promise that this is going to be one of the best shows I ever do. What I am promising is that at least those of you who are commuters, those of you who are genuinely loyal to listening to this show, I give you a little something. I gotta stay on your minds. Which, by the way, that's a very deep conversation I've had. This is crazy that I could... It's crazy to me to think that anybody in this world thinks of me as an expert in anything, first of all. But pretty recently, I had a conversation with somebody about podcasting. And she has her and her friend want to sit down and have a podcast, possibly one that makes money. And so one of these two friends wanted to sit down with me and pick my brain about how to market and how to podcast. And It's flattering, and there's a lot of pressure that I put on myself when somebody thinks I'm an expert at anything, because I don't want to disappoint, but I also want to impress. And any bit of advice I was able to give that day, it's funny, it's based primarily on the mistakes I made or the things I didn't do. So here I am with some bell peppers. Bell peppers are not actually on my to-do prep list, but I'm assuming they're going to be for the dips. So we're going to cut them up in just a sec. And there's the 2 minutes on the bacon. Yep, that's it. That's it. That is exactly it. Yeah. With bacon, you kind of have that moment where, especially if you're doing it in the oven, you have that moment where it's still soft, but the outsides are crispy. You just put it in that 2 more minutes and suddenly you've got hockey pucks. I don't need that. I don't need that today. What was I telling you? Oh yes, we were chatting about me being an expert. So a lot of the conversation I had with this lovely person about podcasting was telling her a lot of the things that I didn't do are how I learned how to do things better. And I've chatted with you guys a time or two about this. The things that I did wrong, so to speak, with All of the Above Radio, the original show, now that you've now heard it, one of the things I did wrong with All of the Above Radio, if I wanted to make money, was not focus on one demographic or focus on one common theme. If you go on to Spotify or any of the, or Deezer or any of the big podcast search engines, you know, you go looking for true crime, or you go looking for comedy, or you go looking for cooking. It's a show like All of the Above Radio and this one are a bit of a crapshoot as to what you're going to get on any given day. The common theme is that you're going to get my thoughts on life. That's sure, we know that's a common thing. But on any given day, I could be talking about life and multitasking. I could be talking about bourbon. I could be talking about a trip to Hawaii. On any given moment, any of those things could happen. Now here's the trick. If I were to turn any of those one topics into a full concept of a show, I could take that to an advertiser and say, here, you can buy time on my show and we'll make money. If I wanted to go to the tourism board of Maui and be like, hey man, all I do is interview business owners in Maui. And here's the first episode, Jessica Everett of Esther's Fair Prospect. Okay, we have a show. Or, hey man, I just talked about my bourbon collection. I'm going to interview other bourbon collectors and we're going to talk about, and we're going to cross-reference all the different stuff we have and why we love it so much. Okay, we have a show. These are two different concepts that I just actually thought of right off the cuff that I could very easily walk up to an advertiser and say, I'm reaching these people. You guys want to give me money. And by the way, feel free to steal either of those. Just give me some credit, and whatever free product you get, I want half. That's all I want. I won't put it in writing, just the honor system. Don't mess around. But that is most assuredly one of the things I did not do when I set out to create All of the Above Radio, and it went from infant to toddler to elementary school child, we'll call it. There was never the focus on one thing. And you know what? For me, and the show that I wanted, that's all I wanted. All I wanted was was a verbal and mental release. That's all I wanted. Really, that's all I wanted. So here we are, by the way. We are cutting up some cucumber now. And I need a container. But it's crazy to me to think that anyone would think me an expert. But if you do something long enough to some level of success, or at least to some level of, well, at least to some level, yeah, sure. If nothing else, you gain the hours that go towards the 10,000 hour rule. Whether or not that makes you good, I don't know. But actually, and I remember saying this, so I guess I need to toot my own horn for one quick second. Slicing cucumber, by the way. In the midst of that conversation with that lovely woman who may very well want to start a podcast and make some money off of it, I talked about the importance of marketing and finding a demographic. Because for any of you interested in starting a podcast, I can safely tell you, you can have amazing content and have no marketing and fail. You can have schlock for content, but have great marketing or great notoriety or a great name and be everywhere. I actually just listened to the first time to Armchair Anonymous, I think it's called, the Armchair Expert Friday show. Really funny. Of just Dax Shepard and some female, I think her name's Monica. They interviewed people just about Black Friday. And it was fun. And it was funny. I'm not going to say it's anything I haven't done, but it was fun. And it was funny. And Dax Shepard is a decades-long successful actor who is married to a decades-long successful actor. And has the notoriety to have started a podcast. And people said, oh, that guy from Without a Paddle? Yeah, sure, I'll listen to that. Oh, wait, it's actually good? Cool. But I had, in the midst of this conversation, I had the audacity to say that my show, All of the Above Radio, at its height, at its peak, was giving you as good a content as Bill Burr's Monday Morning Podcast. I don't back off that point, ladies and gentlemen. When All of the Above Radio was a weekly show, it was really good. And I'm not going to say every minute of every show was really good, but I'm going to tell you wholeheartedly, the show was really good. To the point where I got really disappointed on certain days that it wasn't doing better. Because I knew how good the content was. But at the time, I wasn't nearly focused in. Okay, let's try this. At the time, I wasn't saying out loud that I was gonna need to focus my energy on one thing and one thing only. Which is kind of the kick in the pants of all of this. And by the way, that was not the first conversation I've had with somebody over these last couple weeks about podcasting. Hold that thought. I had to sip some water. I'm here chatting with you. So, another conversation I actually had was, for those of you who have been listening to All New, All Different for a little while, I want to say the interview is still up. If it's not, I need to put it back up. But I had a really amazing conversation with Dave Perez, the guitar player for the band Big Story. Their album's coming out soon, by the way. Stick around. But he actually just did a test podcast, about 17 minutes long, with two of his buddies. And he said, hey man, I'd really love for you to listen to this. I said, okay, this is now the second person who wants me to be an expert about podcasting. So I listened to it. It was really funny. And I'm pretty sure I told him this. I'll have to go back and look at my text to make sure I said this, because I don't want to be that guy who talks behind somebody's back anymore. But it's nothing I haven't heard before, and it's nothing I haven't said before on the confines of All of the Above Radio. But they did it in a way that was funny. The three of them had a great rapport with each other. You could tell it was three dudes who have a good time chatting. And it showed. And so I texted him that, and he says, "Hey man, you got a minute to chat?" I said, "Yeah, sure." So we talked for maybe 15 minutes about the whole concept of podcasting, and he went the other direction. He is not sure they want to market for money. He just thinks it's three married guys who want to blow off some steam. And he asked me the age-old question of, in 2022, what do I do if we say something that offends somebody? Which, by the way, is another question as a podcaster you have to ask yourself. And so we come to this moment where he actually answered it himself. He said, "Or do I just assume that at some point I'm going to offend somebody and just go with that?" I said, "You just answered your own question." Because if you're a show that doesn't focus, if you're a show that focuses in on one thing and somebody gets offended at something you say, well, they just need to not listen to you. They just need to be like, "Oh, this guy wants to talk for an hour and a half about plumbing. Well, plumbing is stupid. Okay, well, don't listen. Cool." But if it's a general show that can pull anybody in and you offend somebody, that's a little different. But, and the very important thing that I said to him was, don't edit yourself and don't walk into a show thinking, who am I going to offend? What shouldn't I say? That's kind of the equivalent, so I hear at least, of athletes not playing to the whistle. You hear quite frequently from defensive players, former NFL defensive players, like Brian Urlacher said this the most, is if you are trying not to hurt somebody, that's when you get hurt the most. You have to fundamentally tackle all the way through to make it a clean, successful, and reasonably safe tackle. Sounds counterintuitive, but at the same time, I trust the guy. But podcasting is some level of the same. If you're trying not to offend, you're not going to say the things you want to say because you're going to be thinking as you speak. And, side note, the thing that I enjoyed the most about All of the Above Radio was just how little thinking I did at certain moments of the show. It was really amazing. Some of the most fun I had, especially recently, was going back and listening to the best of shows so that I could put together the archive dive for you. And it was really fun to genuinely be on the edge of my seat for my own content and listen to how, like a stand-up comic, I was able to do the correct callbacks or keep everything looped together or start a conversation, have it be 17 minutes long, and yet all of it made sense. That's an amazing thing. And that's not to say that I didn't have notes in front of me reminding me of the points I wanted to hit or anything of the sort. But this is to tell you that conversations like that happen with free flow, with a good free flow. It usually doesn't happen when you're thinking. It just doesn't. So in the span of, we'll call it 3 weeks, I've had two different people refer to me as an expert in something. That's really fun and really impressive and, you know, even a little bit daunting, you know? But it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool that somebody thinks you're an expert for something. So let's see here. So the bacon is cooked and is now cut. So we're gonna, I cut it into smaller strips because like we discussed, we're doing chips and dip and we're doing sandwiches. So I'm cutting the bacon into slightly smaller pieces. One, so that we stretch the bacon a little bit. But two, I think we're doing Hawaiian rolls. You don't need a long-ass piece of bacon on a Hawaiian roll. It'd be just coming off the side. That's just ridiculous. You don't need that. Oh, a red onion. I'll cut that too. So I guess I'm kind of going off the list here. Right now, I'm just kind of feeling the flow a little bit in the kitchen. It's good. Yep. Cut apple. Yep. Okay. Okay. And while we're on the topic of being an expert at something, this is the beauty of freeform in the kitchen conversation. I can't really refer to a whole heck of a lot of notes right now, just because I'm not actively near my phone. I genuinely am trying to work. And it's funny, this is a thing that my bosses of the various restaurants I've worked at have probably given me a right bit of hell about. I'm not amazing at walking and chewing gum at the same time. That's a very old person's reference, by the way. But I'm not great at doing more than one thing at once. I'm really, really good at doing one thing at a time. I'm great at doing one thing really well. And there's moments where as I'm talking to you, I stop and I'm waving my arms or the things that I tend to do. Not that one today. I don't like that knife today. Not that one. This one. Yes. But as I tend to do, I will stand still and flap my arms a little bit, and not conducive to a timely session in the kitchen. But this one's a little different, as we've already discussed. So now we're slicing tomato. Which, by the way, I had no idea tomato was such a not hot button food item, but I had no idea that so few people or so many people had a bad reaction to it. Myself included, by the way. My, another thing about being an adult is starting to have a genuine knowledge of the foods that your body doesn't want you to eat and actually not eating them. So, I think about me as a kid and how I used to love milk. And somewhere, and I remember this day as if it happened a week ago, there was a day where I was in elementary school, and I remember I was borderline doubled over in pain after lunch, and I'm sure I ate a cookie and milk and ended up going to the nurse just telling them I had a really bad stomach ache. And as I look back at it, I probably had drank whole or 2% milk. And it's funny, 44-year-old me knows full well just how lactose intolerant I kinda sorta am. And I avoid it. Sheep's milk, goat's milk, those kind of cheeses, yep, sure, all day, not a problem. You wanna put some cow's milk in front of me? I'm gonna need a dairy pill. And one of the greatest moments, one of the most entertaining, game-changing moments I have experienced as an adult was I was at work one day, and one of my bar guests pulled out a lactase pill. Lactaid would be the major brand. It would be the Kleenex of lactase pills. And it was a Costco brand. I said, hold on a second. Costco makes dairy pills? And she said, oh yeah. the light bulb just went off in my head because, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what over-the-counter thing you're buying, it's too expensive. Whether it's DayQuil or Alka-Seltzer or Viagra or Valtrex, like anything you're buying over-the-counter is too expensive. And to know that Costco does a dairy pill, that was a huge game changer. Now, I will say this, you don't want to end up turning the dairy pill into a crutch where you suddenly just eat awful all the time, because you are still putting fat in your body that you don't necessarily need. I mean, it's fat that you love, that tastes amazing, but you don't necessarily need it. But in those moments where you can turn left and be like, I'm not hungry for a Caesar salad, or you can turn right and have that salad that you love so much once or twice a month, yeah, you can do that. And by the way, I have, speaking of more things I can't have anymore, that moment where you realize that spicy food is not your friend anymore. Once upon a time, 19, 20, 21-year-old me had a bottle of Frank's Red Hot in my glove box at all times, because you never knew what you were going to need to put hot sauce on, just to get that little vinegary pop of pepper. My mouth is watering just thinking about it. But now, once again, 44-year-old me is thinking about just how awful I feel later. And you and me, we're going to have a quick conversation when you're sitting in the bathroom, scrolling through Instagram, trying to tell yourself, okay, I won't spend too much time in here. And you have that painful thought and you stop and say, what the hell did I eat today? And then you realize you ate a medium salsa instead of a mild. That salsa wasn't all that spicy on your mouth. But damn it, otherwise, I guess it kind of was. And here I am, by the way, with my hands on my hips chatting with you, not a knife in my hand. That's how this all works. This is, like I said, what my bosses throughout all of my jobs have probably at some point wanted to get on to me about, was the fact that you can clean and talk at the same time. But is it that good a conversation if you're not dialed in? If you're not present in the moment? If you're not actually giving back and forth? I don't know, man. I mean, yes, it's a good conversation still, but how overly present are you? You guys know me. That's kind of my thing. Kind of into the overly present thing. So tomatoes are sliced. And I think we can put them... I need to find a smaller container. I have plenty. Yeah, this one should do. Yeah, though. So, as we're chatting about things I can't have anymore because I'm getting old, that other conversation that has invaded my mind somewhat recently is alcohol. So... You ever stop to think about what the 23-year-old version of you could do? The 23-year-old version of you could probably drink until 2 in the morning, wake up at 7:30 to go to work, or not even go to bed, just power on through the day. I have come to realize that the earlier you start drinking, the better off you're going to be. Like, if you start, because these people that drink at happy hour for a long time at my job, I was like, what are you guys doing? You straight home? You don't even go home? You just come from work and start drinking? Thanks for the money, but what are you doing? And then I kind of realized, the older you get, if you drink early, if you start drinking at like 6, stop drinking at 8:30, you have all that time to metabolize it out and sweat it out and be in bed by 11 o'clock and actually not feel terrible in the morning. Because, man, if you start drinking at 10 and stop at 12:45, boy, I don't know about you, some of you are going to resonate with this, but man, I'll wake up at 4:30 in the morning, hot as hell, just plain sweating, dry mouth, just ugh. It is galling just how, just, okay, let's try this. I was going to say it's galling getting old, but what actually is galling is my attempts at acting young and not adjusting to what my body is telling me. That's really what's galling. So it's me. I'm the problem. Is that the Taylor Swift meme? That's a reel going on TikTok right now, is the line from Taylor Swift. It's me, I'm the problem. I think that's it. And by the way, apples are next, by the way. No, actually, let's do the peppers. Yeah, let's do the peppers. No, let's do the apples. They're actually on the list. I'm trying to stick with the list, but I see all the stuff that I think needs to be sliced, and I'm just going to do it all. But see, here's the thing. When you don't follow the instructions, you run the risk of ruining somebody's creation, and then you got to go, and then you got to be the one to go shopping to go get the stuff you just cut because you thought you were doing something smart. Whatever. So we're about to cut the apples. And by the way, are you enjoying not having the sound of an oven going on in the background? I have a feeling you could probably hear the fan from the convection oven. But it's over now. And speaking of convection oven, the first time I, just yesterday at time of live recording, for the first time I actually roasted a turkey. I have gone this far in life with being a host, or I'm sorry, with being a guest or a spectator to Thanksgiving meal. And my wife works at Trader Joe's. That's one of her two jobs. And she texts me Sunday night and says, "Hey, do we want a free turkey?" And at first, because I'm the semi-practical guy, and I'm the logistics guy. Not 80% of the time, I'm the logistics person in our home. I'm married now, by the way, if you didn't know that. And for, 7 months now? It's May 21st. Please do the math for me. I can't be bothered with that right now. So, we'll talk in a year. I can give you that number. But, about 80% of the time, I'm the logistics person in the household. And she says to me, "Hey, do we want a free turkey?" And at first, of course, my first thought was, where are we gonna put it? If it's frozen, we ain't got no room. And she said, "Well, the expiration date on it is tomorrow, so it'll need to be cooked or frozen." And logical me was like, "We don't need that. We just got done with Thanksgiving. We still have leftovers from somebody's house." But then, like I told you earlier, I love being in the kitchen. I love creating. And I love a challenge. So about 2 hours later, I texted her back and I said, "You know what? If there's a free turkey, we'll take it." And there was, and she did. And so for the first time, the convection oven comes into play right now, as I have a convection oven in our condo that we were renting. And they cook a little bit faster. So I felt somewhat confident in being able to get the turkey done before I left for work at 2:45 yesterday. And I did. It was pretty cool. I'm not going to sit here and say that I made a beautiful, amazing, nuanced turkey that I would want to serve to people. But did I put a bird in the oven with some butter under the skin and some rosemary on the skin? I sure did. And it wasn't hard. I repeat, to do something nuanced and amazing, probably a considerably different story. but to just do it, not hard and kind of fun. And I kind of enjoyed it. Will I do it again? I don't know. Will I ever be the host of Thanksgiving? I sure as hell don't know about that. I kind of enjoy our role of my wife makes the cheese boards that are Instagram worthy and beautiful and delicious, and I do the sous chef work beforehand, which brings us right back to where we are right now. So I'm slicing the apples right now. I actually don't know what we're going to be doing with the apples, but a lot of the times she uses apples as decoration for the boards, just for pop of color. But I'm a guy who could very easily eat a whole apple and some peanut butter and call that breakfast if I need to. I am very 6 years old in that way. So here we are with the, do I want to do that? Yeah, I don't think I care today. Just looking at the little bit of core that I left and trying to figure out if I wanted to be a nuanced prep cook and actually get rid of it. No, I don't. I don't know that I will chat with you. Oh shit, I'm at 50 minutes. I actually don't remember how long I set my recording space for. So, we're going to chat for a little bit, for just a little bit longer, and then I'm going to disconnect. Because, well, I don't know how much more I have. Let's see here. So, this has really just been me randomly musing with you, not at you, but with you, about multitasking, podcasting, getting your homework done, and yet still trying to have fun. Musing about all of that, and the really wicked kick in the pants about getting older and trying to either be water or swim against the current. And I am definitely not Lieutenant Dan from Forrest Gump in this whole thing and screaming, "You'll never sink this boat," but not always Bruce Lee being water either. So more apples being cut right now. And then pears are next. And hopefully not my fingers. If there's one thing I do sort of lack, it's knife skills. I can use a knife. I'm not always pretty with it. But here we are. Some apples getting put in here. I'm actually gonna step away for a quick bit, like a commercial break. I'm gonna wash my hands. I'm gonna go to the bathroom. Actually, I've been washing my hands this whole time. That's one of the weird things about me that some people know, some people don't. I wash my hands a lot if I don't wear gloves. And so, if you've ever been to my home and tried to dry your hands on a towel, towels are usually a little wetter than normal homes just because I wash my hands a lot. Feel free to be one of those people who takes me to task and says, "You know, you're losing all of your natural bacteria in your hands if you wash your hands too much." Kick rocks, dude. Just go be high and mighty somewhere else. That's all I got for you. Just go be high and mighty somewhere else. Well, we're going to step away for a sec. I'm going to check in on this recording, and then we're going to be right back after these messages.
Not satisfied with the progression of your alcoholism? We've got just the thing. The All of the Above radio drinking game. Every time Hank says, "However," you drink for 3 seconds. Your humble host references Chris Rock or Dave Chappelle. You've got to finish your beer. Uh-oh. Did Hank just laugh at one of his own jokes? Looks like you've got to do a shot. Now you have a reason to drink in excess before sunset on a Tuesday.
This is DJ Age, a.k.a. Age Diamante, a.k.a. Lou Ferrildo, a.k.a. the Emperor of Levante Entertainment, LLC. You are listening to my man, Hank Thorpe, on All of the Above Radio, you suckers.
And we're back. Welcome back to All New, All Different, All of the Above. It's like the old times. It's kind of cute. I was sort of right. I only gave myself about an hour and 15 minutes to record, and I was getting towards the hour mark. So I did a quick reset. I've got the baking pan that I used. I've got that soaking right now. I put away about half the stuff I have been working on, and we're getting just right back to it. So, I mean, you guys have been listening this whole time, so I don't really need to reset, but that's what a cooking show would do, and that's what I would have done on All of the Above Radio. So as you may or may not know, maybe you just picked up your friend from the airport and you don't feel like starting the show over, so here's the reset. So I've got a nice long list. Actually, it's not that long a list. So I've got this list of things I need to do to prep so that my wife can put together a really nice meat and cheese, chips and dip, and sandwich spread for the day. And I've got my apples already sliced, I've got my cucumber already sliced, bacon is cooked and cut in half so that we can stretch the sandwiches. And now I've got a pear, we're gonna go ahead and make that happen. And as I have been cutting the produce and cooking the bacon, I've been chatting with you about just kind of random thoughts about adulthood. We've discussed the fact that you can't go to bed drunk anymore without there being consequences, either in the middle of the night or well into the next day. Boy, hangovers last a heck of a lot longer now. You're still having fun in the process, but boy, that hangover lasts a lot longer. And by the way, my wife is 11 years younger than me, and our birthdays are 10 days apart, so for 10 days, I'm 12 years older than her. She's giggling at that. But I actually see the difference in age just in us. Back in October, we went to a wedding in California, and it was an open bar. And, we took advantage. I mean, as best we could, we took advantage. In the midst of chatting with people, meeting new people, talking to old people, you just drink. And so here's perfect example. December of 2021, the first night we were in Los Angeles, hanging out with her sister and sister-in-law and one of my groomsmen, we go on a binge for beer. We go to a couple of different bars, have a bunch of different beers, didn't eat a whole hell of a lot, and I was so sick. I drank so much. I contend to say that I was in control that night. I was doing just fine. I was drinking 7% ABV IPAs. I knew what I was doing. But then my sister-in-law started drinking 12% barrel-aged stouts and couldn't finish them and started handing them to me. That's when things went wrong. So I have a tendency when I'm drinking hard and having a good time, I have a tendency to at some point end up rolling on the floor in laughter. Like actually, not like Gen Z, just typing it and not meaning it. No, I'm actually rolling on the floor laughing. And it's a fine combination of I've got enough alcohol in me to not care, and somebody is really freaking funny. And so that night, I'm under control, drinking my 7% ABV IPAs, just having a good time pacing myself. And the next thing you know, there's a my beer in front of me, and then there's a 12% IPA or a 12% stout in front of me. And then the next thing you know, I'm laying on the ground laughing hysterically at something one of my closest friends in the world has said, and there is a dog who took that opportunity to run up and just start licking my face. And by the way, I'm not even gonna lie about it. That was probably one of my favorite moments of the whole trip. Something was that funny, I was that buzzed, and that dog liked me enough to come lick me. I'm not even gonna lie. As bad as my allergies are, I find it a bit of a badge of honor if a dog wants to lick your face. And all of you dog owners might end up telling me, oh, no, they do that to everybody. You're not that special. I don't need to hear that from you. You just keep that crap to yourself. Thank you very much. But the next day, oh dear. And this is December 2021, so we're still wearing masks. And so I tell you this with no exaggeration, I was absolutely 100% nauseous wearing a mask that next day. I was hungover until dinner that night at maybe about 8 o'clock, when I finally started to feel like a human being again. It was brutal. So that's 43-year-old me. So now my wife, this is October of just a few short weeks ago. This is October of 2022. She's 11 years younger than me. So she got well ahead of me in drinking. And we're on vacation. Who gives a crap? But she ends up having a bit of a rough night. Doesn't sleep fantastically. And wakes up hungover the next morning. But her hangover is done at like 1 o'clock. We had some big, greasy chicharrones at this Mexican restaurant. And she had like, I think, breakfast flautas. And she was fine. By 1:30, 2 o'clock, she was fine. That would not have been me. Oh my God. I was so jealous. I was so jealous in that moment that she was able to bounce back that quick. Now, in the midst of that, I did the husband thing and found the nearest supermarket and bought some headache medicine. But shortly after the headache medicine and the greasy Mexican food, she was good. And I was impressed. And jealous. So I repeat, this whole getting old thing and trying to be better than or stronger than it, boy, it's a rough game. It's an absolutely rough game. So we're cutting the pears right now, by the way. A very underrated member of the fruit family, by the way, is the pear. Find a really good pear. Pretty stinking delicious. I've actually, one of the really fun pizzas I had at my job a long time ago was pear and prosciutto with blue cheese. And by the way, I'll flip the coin over on you, because, you know, just on the other side of the break, I was talking to you about how my body can't handle certain things, and, you know, I used to be able to handle hot sauce, blah, 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 blah. Now, the younger version of me did not have a taste for more interesting foods like I do now. So that is kind of fun. I never, 22-year-old me would be looking at 44-year-old me and asking, bro, what are you eating? What is that? That looks weird. No, it's delicious. It was probably 20 years old before I had my first piece of sushi. But once I did, I really enjoyed it. Probably did. Oh, well, and just if we want to talk about cultural differences, growing up in Italian culture and Jewish culture in Northwest New Jersey, I had never had tamales until I was probably 25. That's real. That's very real. I had never had tamales before. And for those of you who grow up in Texas or New Mexico or a lot of southern states with a Hispanic or Spanish heavy influence, you're all looking at me just like, how have you never had that? How did you not have that until you were? But I can look at people and say, you've never had chitlins? I mean, my grandmother, may she rest in peace, Jesse May Gist, may she rest in peace. I had chitlins when I was young, real young, and didn't think anything of it. But there are people in this world that have never, ever, ever had them. Maybe better off for it, but who knows. So I'm taking a bit of a leap of faith, ladies and gentlemen. And for those of you who are married, you're all saying, oh crap, what's he about to do? So I texted my wife to ask if she wants the bell peppers cut, because I'm imagining they're going to go with all the dips. But she hasn't responded yet. She gets off work in at time of recording in about 50 to 55 minutes from now. But I've got a groove in the kitchen. I kind of want to keep going. And I want to be cleaned up by the time she gets here so that she can start her work. So a little part of me is just thinking, well, maybe I just cut this pepper, get ahead, and call it a day. And all of the married women that are listening to this show are just shaking their heads and saying, just wait until she answers the text. So this is what happens when you spend a lot of time working in the restaurant business. You spend a lot of time anticipating. You do a lot. And to the detriment of your own psyche, you do a lot of anticipating when you work in the restaurant business. Refilling teas, getting ranch dressing, bringing to-go boxes, cleaning up before the next table sits down. You do a lot of anticipating, a lot of trying to think ahead so that you can be as good a bartender, server, manager, host for the people. Now, every now and then, you try to refill somebody's tea, but they've got the perfect balance of sweet and low to tea, and they don't want any more. Every now and then, you walk a to-go box over to the table, but they're from out of town, and they're not going to take any food with them because they don't have a fridge in their hotel. Every now and then, you anticipate, and you're wrong. So here I am, looking at this bell pepper and saying, should I just cut it? What should I do? Because anticipatory me would say, she's going to use this for the dips. I should just cut it any damn way. The 6-year-old in me that, you know, you put your hand on the stove and it burns, says, I'd rather not get burned. I'd rather just trust that it's hot and not touch it. You know? So I'm going to stand here for one quick second. I was, so as you can tell, I had a little bit of, stuff that I want. Oh, I did actually, I will bring this one up real quick. Just as a, actually, you know what? No, we're going to save that for another day. Because I've been talking to you about just getting older. And just real quick, I talked about the difference in being 11 years older than my wife, but I'm going to save the rest of the conversation because I started taking notes on the you know you're getting old when, and I'm sure these are infographics on Pinterest and memes on Facebook and stand-up comedy routines, but everybody presents their stuff in a slightly different way, and hopefully mine is more entertaining and speaks to you. But I think sooner than later, if I can get my homework done, I will come to you with the full list of, you know, you're getting old when, or the telling signs of age. Because there is one I do want to share with you, but it's going to be a slightly longer conversation. So I feel like this is probably a good spot to clip. I'm going to look at my list real quick. Bacon is cooked. Tomatoes are sliced. Cucumbers are sliced. Apple, pear, and avocado, all cut. So my list is done. My list is actually done. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and clean up the kitchen. I'm going to clean up this bacon pan. Make sure to get all that rinsed out. I'm going to put all the stuff away in the fridge. I'm going to put away the dishes in the dish rack. And so that either A, I can go back and cut vegetables fresh, because there is still a red onion I'm staring at, and there's these two bell peppers. I think I'm supposed to cut them, but I'm going to wait. And actually, Team USA is playing Iran right now in the World Cup, so I think I'm actually going to sit down and watch some football with a U. And I'm gonna finish chatting with you here right before I do all that cleaning and watch a little football. This has been fun. I'm gonna go back and listen to some of the audio to see if it sounds okay, but this has been fun, and this has been a good, quick way to get the chat with you guys a little bit. And if you guys like what I did here, I'll plan a little bit better next time. I'll actually look at my show notes and figure out if there's an actual show I want to bring you. Or if you guys like the general musings that just came off the top of my head as I was chopping apples and cucumbers, I'll do that some more. Because Lord knows I was already doing this anyway. As I brought up the meme from Facebook a whole long time ago at the start of this conversation, I do talk to myself when I'm in the kitchen anyway. I might as well chat with you guys instead. That was the crux of All of the Above Radio. Was All of the Above Radio is cheaper than therapy, and if you guys are listening to it, maybe somebody can learn from it. Because I can talk to myself all day. If my wife's not around, I kind of sort of do. But you know what? What's that doing? I mean, yeah, sure, I sound out problems on my own every now and then, or I just fall deeper into my head, but you know what? If I share it with you, somebody can tell me if I'm wrong or if I'm right, or give me another perspective. Which, by the way, allofthe above radio@gmail.com is how you would do that. So, if you like what you heard, we'll do this again soon. And no matter what, we'll do this again soon. And soon after that, and soon after that, and soon after that. This has been all new, all different, all of the above. My name is Hank, and may there be a next time. I say till next time.